So today, I was going to start by saying good morning and Boker Tov to everybody. Today is a special service. You might be seeing the corsages around the congregation. Amen. But today we're going to have a special service. This is the first ever in a long time family service. So the children are invited to stay. And sadly, we're missing our Jenny's children. We are missing the Baders. They're overseas and doing missions work right now. And we're missing the Thrashers, possibly because Tammy is not feeling well and she kept her family home. But we still send our prayers to those children and those families, Lord, that you will bless them and keep them and bring them back for Shabbat school, because we've got so many things to share together, so many things to do together. And I thank you for the wonderful children you've brought to our congregation. So I do have a purpose and I do have a goal for today. And my purpose is to honor all of the Shabbat school teachers and the volunteers who have invested this year in the Shabbat school. They've done a tremendous job. So anybody with a corsage, when you get up to the Kiddush later, just tell them thank you for me and give them your blessing and support. But my goal today also is to give some discussion and thought to what it means to be part of a family. And I hope that when we do this discussion and thought about what it means to be part of a family, that we will connect these concepts to who we are here as a congregation, that we are a family in this congregation, and we all work together as one. So how many of you feel that Shema's a little bit different, that this is more of a family atmosphere than it is going to a regular church? Amen. So many of you have raised your hands, and I feel the same way. Well, I took over being the Shabbat school director in 2017, last summer. And this was really the Lord's idea. And I have to share a story that I was taking a walk on a nice day in January in 2017, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because before this I had been leading prayer, I said, what if I told you to give up prayer? And I was really, really, really shocked by hearing that from the Lord. I actually looked around. And I was walking and thinking about it, and I was saying, well, Lord, it's not my prayer team, it's your prayer team. And of course, Lord, if you tell me to give it up, I'll give it up. But in my heart of hearts, I thought he was testing me and he really didn't mean it. But he did. He did. I started, praying about it. And up until this point, Kate Boss was single-handedly running the Shabbat school with very little support. And she did an absolutely phenomenal job with the children. I actually seen her running in the hall dressed as some biblical character. Yes, give her an applause. She deserves it. She really loved working with the children, but she had very little support from the congregation. And she wanted and badly needed some R&R time. So I knew what the Lord had already been telling me about Shabbat school, and I had already come alongside and been giving Kate a month on, month off. I had been volunteering to teach every other month so she could get a little back into a service, because she wasn't in the services all this time. So I was on board with the decision. But I also looked around at what we had, and I also thought, because I was on board with the decision to move to Edgewood, that we were going to need to build a new Shabbat school that didn't think of ourselves as Shabbat school on Winton Road, but we're thinking of ourselves as a Shabbat school on Edgewood. So with that in mind, some problems presented themselves. What we were going to do if we were to grow and have a whole lot more kids. We needed a Shabbat school program that would tailor to children from birth to 14 years old. We needed classrooms to be developed, because at the time, with Kate being the only teacher, there was only one classroom that was developed to be used. We needed a good curriculum, one that would be messianic. And this has been a persistent problem with messianic congregations, because there's a lot of Christian curriculum for children's church out there, but it doesn't reflect who we are. We needed also a coordinator for the nursery. And by the way, I'm still looking for a nursery coordinator, because the nursery is different from the Shabbat school. It's a whole different ballgame. So those were the problems, and I entered into the ministry, and in the summer of 2017, I fully took over the Shabbat school from Kate, and with Kathy Lemke's help, we led the children in a unit on learning about the cultural Israel. We studied its people, studied the land, and we studied the promises of God to Israel from the scripture. We planted the garden last year, and we taught about the agricultural industry in Israel. Did you know cherry tomatoes were developed in Israel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, cell phone technology, Israel. So the children learned about tithing through the garden. We first collected the raspberries, and I had them put little circles of 10 in a row on a piece of paper and put one strawberry in each thing and then take one out and put it in a bowl for Rabbi. And I said, what can you do more with, the 90% or the 100%? And they all said, the 100%. I said, no, in God's economy, you can do more with the 90%. So they learned about tithing. I went to the Messiah Conference last year, so Jerry and Frank took over about the Israeli inventions, and we had junk inventions, and they took all the kids and some duct tape and whatever else, stuck things together, and the kids invented things that came up that they wanted to invent, and they learned about the other inventions of Israel, such as the Iron Dome and some of the other really great technology. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was a lot. The garden's donations last year totaled $300. And the children themselves decided what they wanted to do with the money. And so we sent some of the money to a Messianic Jewish school in Jerusalem, Mekor Ki Haktikva is what it's called. And we sent them letters, and they sent us back a thank you and much appreciation for the donation. The children also, whether you know it or not, when you're in your home and you're talking, they listen to you, you know, they hear. So they kind of mentioned a few people in the congregation. We heard that these people needed help. So they mentioned a few names, and we were able to give donations to those people according to their heart's desire. It was a great summer. My first course of action, though, was to pick a new curriculum. So the first slide here, this is the cover sheet from our curriculum called Frameworks. Frameworks is an original curriculum developed right here at CSY in the early 1990s with myself, Sherry Grinhouse, and Rabbi David Levine. And we spent a whole year sitting and planning this curriculum, tailoring the mission and vision to reflect the mission and vision of the house of Congregation Shema Israel. So it's really homegrown and very messianic in content. It isn't a prescribed curriculum that you can purchase, but it was organized around foundational themes, which I got out of a catechism book by Patricia Beale Gruitz, that course that I had taken at Faith Temple that had built the foundations in my life. So I took those foundations and the foundation stones into the curriculum. Then we added in the Moedim and the Messianic content. And it's unlike anything that's marketed out there that is typical for Christian ministries. The themes are developed each month by teachers, fresh each month, which means that rather than going to a book, they seek the Lord for their lesson plans. And they tailor each lesson from the things that the Holy Spirit has given them. So the next slide shows the themes. These are the themes. It's a three-year cycle, so that each classroom we have the children for basically 3 years. And because the teachers do the themes every month, we have fresh stuff. So even if a child is in the same theme in 2 years in a row, which probably won't happen, they get fresh perspective on it. So we go down, and the reason the 10th month, we don't teach the holidays in the 10th month, but they're dispersed in. I minored on certain ones, but majored on certain ones, and spread them out over the 3 years. Because we have so many Moedim that if we just did the Moedim, that would be the whole year just taken up with Jewish holidays. So this year we studied Simchat Torah, Shabbat, Hanukkah, and Tish B'Av. And which probably do this summer. And next year we'll be doing, you can read it, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tu B'Shvat, and Purim, and so on. So these are the themes the teachers work on. And here's the rationale behind it. Can you imagine what it would be like if Rabbi Jim and Pastor Tom had a prescribed curriculum that they purchased, and it told them that this week, on this month, this is what you're supposed to teach? Do you know how hard it is to read what somebody else has written and try to internalize it and try to make some sense of it so you can, without having to look every 2 seconds at a book, talk to children right from your heart? Well, that's what Framework does. The teachers have ownership in it. We've planned it together. We've got our ideas and our direction together. And then they go off and they tailor it to their age group. And so when they are up in front of the children every week, they are excited because they have something from the Lord. And I have to tell you that in all my years of using Frameworks, which is about 3 now, the Lord has never failed. Ever, and I don't think he's failed anyone here, to give you inspiration to know what to do with the kids, how to teach it, what plans, what crafts, and how to really impart to them. So it's worked and it's based on my years of experience as a teacher. So the most important thing to me, though, when I do the teacher trainings, when we meet prior to the month, we do trainings, we have fellowship, it's like a havara. We have fun, we eat, we laugh, we plan. But the thing is that the number one thing in my heart for all teachers here and what I want to impart in them is more than curriculum, more than the lesson, more than the scripture, is the relationship that you have with the children. Get to know them, get to really care about them, pray with them, and know who they are. And I think our teachers have done a wonderful job this year. So let's give them another hand. So based on that, I have some certificates of appreciation that I'd like to pass out and introduce to you the staff that the Lord provided this year. First of all, for the nursery, there's Gloria Stewart, and she's not here. Gloria just is so warm and loving with those babies. I just enjoy watching her every week. She sings to them with the little voice that she has, and she's very calming. We also have Doreen St. George, who decided to go up with Ruth. Doreen has a special way with the children. When she looks at each one, she has a keen insight into their little personalities, which is kind of hard with babies because they're still forming, but she knows exactly what temperament each one has, and she's so great with the babies. So we're very blessed to have Doreen. Rebecca Whitestone, come on up. And Nyoka Belaski, come on up. These are our primary teachers. Can I ask you to stay up? I know, it's torture. You can lie over here. So I want you to know that Rebecca's new to, I don't know if you ever taught Sunday school before. Catholic school. So she's new to Messianic school. But she just took up stride. What can I do? How can I help? She was always there, got the crafts. There was one week I was teaching down here. She was up by herself, no problem. So the children really look forward to her. And Nyoka is one that gets so passionate about the Word and gets so deep in the Word that she used to come up to me with her face beaming, oh, I got this for the Lord, and I'm so excited. And she even told me there were several times she stayed up past midnight cutting out the crafts for the children. The next age group is our school age children. It's Catherine Lemke. Come on up, Kathy. Kathy is one who takes a theme and absolutely exhausts every scripture. She comes up with pages and pages. She studies every scripture before she decides exactly what she wants to teach the children. And she's health conscious, which I love. And some of our children have preferences to food, we'll put it that way. And she'll often cook or bring a special snack in for the kids on her own. Our other team with that group is Amy Custodio, who's not here, but Hector Rodriguez is going to come up.
They were awesome.
They work together in the same classroom as a married couple. Thank you so much for your certificates. I hope you're feeling honored.
Yeah.
Hector made a Torah for the kids. He did origami with them. He always had an object lesson in the crafts that he created to teach them about the word. The Torah, all kinds of stuff up there came out of them. But the other great thing that they did as a couple is they interjected Hebrew, a lot of Hebrew, into what they were doing with the children, and they actually had them reading from Bibles. So it was a very relevant class, and I know the children just loved working with them. With our older group, we have Mickey Campbell and Naomi Boss. Thank you so much. And Naomi, thank you so much. Naomi has brought seminary level training to the children, I think, because she has seminary training, right? But she always had very thought-provoking questions for the children and wanted them to dig a little bit deeper onto what things meant on their level. And Mickey also, she is one that takes the theme, but what a typical teacher might be doing it this way, she'll say, well, what about how can I apply it today? And what about if this happened or that happened? Or how did Esther really feel in the Kings? So she always brought a whole different perspective to it. And she also helped me develop the classroom materials and went shopping with me, right? Yay. So I want to give them all a clap. Thank you so much for a great year.
Thank you as well.
Okay. And I'm hoping you'll sign up for next year. You'll be hearing from me in August. Mm-hmm. I have a couple more people I want to mention. Ralph Wilson was a Hebrew teacher. And when I took over, he was teaching Hebrew during services time. And we've now changed that to the B'nai Mitzvah. So that was all the kids that had to do Hebrew, whether they were doing Bar Mitzvah or not. And so we changed that time to 8:30, which is a real eye-opener for the parents and the families, but they have been committed to getting their B'nai Mitzvah children here at 8:30 in the morning. And Ralph has been faithful to be here at 8:30 in the morning to teach our children, to prepare them for their Bar Bat Mitzvah. But this enabled Ralph to be part of our congregation. I was hoping he'd be here today. And he wasn't able to get to a service before this switch, so I was really happy for that. Then I have some special volunteers. I have Frank Campbell. Come on up, Frank. And Jerry Prillo. They were not teachers. Thank you. Frank and Jerry took over the class for me, as I said before, in July and taught the kids about inventions. But Frank also, out of his own, said, this children's school is too small. So we had all of the children at his house on a Sunday and created and built a brand new sukkah, which you can stand up in. The one we had was really tiny. You couldn't stand up in there. And the sides were made out of cardboard. But he engineered and did the entire thing, made it so it's easily put together. Things are hinged, and we can all assemble it very well. So I want to thank them for that. And Frank did one more thing. We have a special project we're going to reveal in a few minutes. Totally engineered our special project and has done more work with the children and has really invested in them. So I want to thank you both so much for coming alongside and helping. So I got somebody else, Shaya Greyhouse. Shaya has been did liturgy, taught the children their little Hanukkah song. How many of you were here to see the kids sing their little Hanukkah song? What was it? Ocho Candelitas, right? Also, she has volunteered. Every so often, there's a month with a fifth Saturday in it. And we haven't had any more since then. But every so often, there's a month with a fifth Saturday. So she is going to be continuing, I hope, to do liturgy when those odd Saturdays come up.
And there's the Bar Mitzvah too.
When she also, thank you. She does the training for the Bar Mitzvahs as well for the chanting. So thank you so much, Shaya, for your input in the children. We are blessed to have her. I have special mention now for three more ladies. It's Kate Boss, who's made all the beautiful corsages for our ladies with her talent. So Kate, you want to come up for your certificate? And I have two newies that just came on board this week. to help to do our little kiddish, which we're having after this, Amy Mantro and Linda Miller. So I want to give you a certificate as well in appreciation for your volunteering. Kate and Linda and Amy, I have to sign it. I didn't. I did those yesterday because they came aboard yesterday, so I wanted to honor them. So here I had a curriculum, and I had classrooms which I developed last summer. So by August, by faith, last August, I prepared 12 people to come. And these people were the ones that came, and every seat was filled up, so I had a staff. And that was really great. So let me get to my notes where I am now, because I did all that from memory. Oh, our project. So this month we've been doing the theme of Tikkun Olam, and that means healing the world. So the children learn three significant Hebrew words, Tikkun Olam, which is to repair, to heal the world. They learn the word tzedakah, which means that's giving. And in the Hebrew concept, to give is something that you do when you give from the heart. It's not giving if you're giving out of grudging. It's giving from the heart. So they learned the word tzedakah, and the third word they learned was chesed, which is one of my favorite Hebrew words. It means acts of loving kindness. And so this year our theme was to tikkun olam to the congregation, and with Mick and Frank's brilliant ideas in engineering, I would like to present to you, Frank, if you could help me, what the children have created for you as part of their project for this month. And Benamu boys, let's have Noah and Judah and David come on up and present it with us. And Gracie. You might be saying, what is this they've built? Let me see. Maybe we could move the table over and have it up here. Now, I want you to know that the Shabbat school children, this thing was not put together when the kids first saw it. It was put apart in about 100 little pieces, literally. And our first lesson was to figure out how to put it together, which the children did, and they were the ones to drive in the nails and the screws. And then this, we continued to, once it was together, we painted it, and now we're putting handprints on it. And what is it? Does anybody know what it is? You want to tell? Who wants to tell them what it is?
It's a library, yeah, a library.
And this is going to be in the garden or somewhere on the property. We have a post and everything upstairs. There's hardware that's going to go on it. The children all have to get their handprints on it still. But it's going to have books for people to come and take a book or leave a book, and we're going to bring it to Edgewood with us when we go. So thank you so much, children, for the wonderful project. You may sit down. Thank you. So when I was praying about what to speak about this morning, the Lord gave me one word, and he gave me the word mishpacha, which in Hebrew means family. And it's always been one of those words that I really love. I just love the way that the word sounds, family. It's just such a very lyrical, very beautiful word to me. So my first approach to learning further about what the word mishpacha meant according to the scriptures was to go to the concordance to find out what it meant about family. And the first scripture in the whole Bible that uses the word family is found in Genesis 10. Which is the next slide. And these are the genealogical records of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. Yathas' sons were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yaval, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. And Gomer's sons were Ashkenaz, Ripheth, and Togarmah. Yavan's sons were Elisha and Tarshish, and they were the Kittites and the Dodanites. And from these, the coastlands of the nations spread out into their lands, each one according to his language, according to their families, and to their nations. Now, Strong's Concordance has over 280 references. Well, in the Bible, there's over 280, but Strong's has, 280 references, if you add those up, if I add it correctly, to the words families or family. And most of them are all related to the one root word, 4940, mishpacha. And that word means a family, a circle of relatives, a tribe or people, family, kind or kindred, a special species of things or animals. And I just wanted to show you, too, the sign for family, because Tammy's not here. Even in sign, it means a circle of relatives. There are only a few other words in the Old Covenant that relate to family or families without this reference number. But they, one of them is in reference to being placed within a family group, and that's from Psalms, where it says he places the solitude in families. It's a different root word, but I always love the Psalm because we are family. Our, the other ones were references to little one or children. I think that's really impressive. But there's even one more really impressive concept, according to Strong's Concordance, that the entire New Covenant, there is only one reference to the word families or family. There is only one scripture in the whole New Covenant that contains that word. I was really blown away for that. And that's in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. And then the TLV, it says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. From him, every family in heaven and on earth receives its name. For this reason, in the Complete Jewish Bible, it changes a little bit. For this reason, I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth receives its character. And in the King James, it says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, taking the scripture into context, the for this cause, you can wait on that slide. Go back to the other one, please. Thank you. Taking the scripture into context, for this cause, indicates that the Apostle Paul was hinging it onto his original thought from Ephesians chapter 2, where he is making the case that the Gentiles, along with the Jewish people, are now joint heirs in the family of Messiah. The cause is the one new man, and for this cause he bows his knee before the Father, from whom every family on the heaven and earth is named. But for the sake of this teaching, I also want to use this scripture for the fact that not only does the entire family of believers in Messiah Yeshua receive its unique identity, character, and name, each individual earthly family receives its own identity, character, and name. And we as a congregation have our own unique messianic character, identity, and name. We, a congregation, Shema Israel, are families. We are a family. So I've given us the tribal name of Shemites. We are Shemites, and we are Mishpucha. And speaking about our family at Shema, I'm reminded of a story that I heard in Cleansing Stream from Jack Hayford. He was saying how he was looking out the window, and he was seeing his children, and I think they were throwing rocks somewhere, either, you know. And they were doing it because the neighborhood kids were doing it, and they were doing it with them. So when his kids got home, he sat them all down, and he leaned over and he said to them, we're Hayfords, and we don't behave that way. And that has never left me. I've used that in the classroom a lot of times. And I'll say, like, we are, and say we were the butterfly classroom. We are butterflies, and we don't behave that way. We as Shemites, there are different ways that we behave. We have our own character, identity, and name. And there are things that we just don't do because that's not our character. That's not our identity. That's not who we are, right? So you can turn the slides off for a minute, and we'll get back to that if you can do that. I need to get something here for a minute. I'm going to go a little low-tech on you. So if you give me a second. Volunteer with good handwriting. Okay. You got a choice of colors here. They all work. Oops, I got two mics. Okay, so we're going to go a little low tech. Because I don't know how to do this with a computer yet. So now I want you to be thinking for a minute. There's the first question, I'm going to ask you two questions. And the first one, I want you to help me. When I say the word family, what is the first thing that pops into your head? So say it nice and loud for Kathy so she can write them down. Oh, that's too fast. Mom and dad, children, love. That's those nouns I was going for, Lenore. Unity. What else? Family. Family safety. What else? Family. Trust. Family. First thing that popped in your mind. Come on, this is taking too long. You're thinking too hard. Comfort. Ties. Thank you. Traits. Shelter. Provision. Okay, let's read the list. We have mom and dad, children, love, unity. Thank you, Kathy. Safety, security, trust, ties, comfort, shelter, traits, and provision. I was thinking things like family ties, family tree, family pride, family name, family roots. And I was thinking family rules. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the next chart. What are, you didn't like that one? We'll get to that. We're getting there. What are some of the characteristics that make your family special? Fun, humor, crazy, vacations, teamwork. Next to that put, I said so. Sometimes you have to do that with your kids, and it's okay. It's okay to pull the, because I'm the mama, the papa, and I say so. It's okay to do that. Patience. Prayer. Mercy. Love. Devotions. Yep, I like that one. So all of these differences and acceptance too. Hey, yeah, acceptance, I'll put that one in. Forgiveness. Can you see something here when we look at these words? I, just from that one word, family, you're seeing all these wonderful concepts on what a family should mean to you. So you can see that from this list of concepts, family starts to get its own character, what it should be, its own character, its own identity, comes through these wonderful, wonderful things. Trust is another thing. Now, sadly, sometimes in families, we have to work a little bit harder on some of these concepts. They don't come automatically, but it comes through steadfastness, it comes through faithfulness, it comes through love, and it comes through time. And this is true, these family traits are true for your born-in family, or even if somebody's adopted into a family, they get adopted into your family rules because now they're part of your family. So this is certainly true when we look at back at Ephesians 13 and 14, 3, 13 and 14, if you can put that slide up again. Yeah. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for from him every family in heaven and earth receives its name. You know, the scripture tells us that we have our unique identity in Messiah. In fact, we're so unique in our identity in Messiah compared to the world that he even calls us peculiar, right? So let's get a little bit more into this. So we can pull that to a side, pull the chart aside, and we can go to the next slide. When I was thinking about my own family, I was thinking of the rules of my family. So I have up here the slide, the Kroll family rules, because that was my maiden name, Kroll. And we had these were the rules that came to the top of my head when I thought of my family. We were, of course, to honor our parents and grandparents. We were to be at home for dinner by 6 o'clock every night. That was a rule. Being home, also, after dinner, we went out and roamed the neighborhoods. Back in the day, it was safe, even for children. And we had to be home when the streetlights went on. We also had to, we got allowance for chores. FHB, which I'll get into in a minute. We would love one another, no fighting. Did we fight? Oh, yeah, but there were repercussions. And we had to mind our manners. Now, watching Downton Abbey, my mother came from such affluence that they had servants in the home and people that helped them. And I was brought up with those kind of manners at the dinner table and things like that. So it was pretty, pretty severe. Well, I won't say severe, but it trained me well. Trained me well. So let's use my family rules and see if you might see some things that apply to us as Shemites, okay? So learning how to honor your parents and your grandparents fulfills the fifth commandment, the one with the promise of a long and prosperous life. And I had this little revelation this week. These are the numbers in Hebrew, alphabet, gimel, dalet, hey, that's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And often these are put on a Torah, on a ark cover representing the Ten Commandments. So what number commandment is honor your mother and father? Number 5. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is a high. And what does a high stand for? Life. And what is the promise of the fifth commandment? I said, wow, you know, I got to do a whole study on this, Rabbi, because this stands for Abba, and this, and the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. So I don't know if it follows through for everyone, but when I saw that, I went, whoa, you even have that number 5 in there for that. So if this concept is taught in the home, it naturally transfers to how we treat leadership or spiritual parents in our congregation. When we disrespect and complain against our congregational leaders, it causes harm to our whole Shema family. In the same way that it would hurt your family in the natural if you were to complain against your parents. It can cause disrespect, dissension, or worse, rebellion in our words and our actions toward leadership and toward our parents. It can lead to deeper problems in relationships, and it can affect how we function. And it can destroy the unity in our house here. It also dishonors God, as the scripture clearly teaches that all authority is given by him. And we believe that the leadership in this congregation has been ordained by the Lord. Everyone here gets into their position by prayer. Everyone here is covered by prayer in their position. However, when we do disagree with one another, instead of complaining and rebelling, The scripture also gives us a way how to remedy that. And we are to humbly go to our brothers or sisters, and we are to have conversations with them and try to find out and to understand one another. And we are to set things right so that the peace is restored among our Shema family, among our families within our home. So that's the first rule. Second rule, be home for dinner at 6 o'clock. As I prayed and waited on this one and thought how it could apply to us, I thought that being on time to dinner with my natural family was critical because my father had to work every night to go back to his business and close up the store. So he had from 6 to 6:30 to have dinner. So dinner was on the table at 6 o'clock sharp every night, and we were expected to be there. Being late was not only a cause of reprimand, but it meant that I missed this important time with my father. Can you see the connection there? Mark, you were right on when you went up for prayer and said, yeah, we miss you when you're not here at services at 10 o'clock. We miss you when you don't come to join with us to spend time with our father. I just thought that was huge. I never saw that before. I also missed the daily family check-in because we would go around the table, how was your day? And I would get to, you know, listen to everybody and to share my day with my family. It didn't mean that we couldn't eat at a friend's house, but that had to be prearranged. My parents needed to know where we were. Even if it was at the last minute, they needed to know where we were. Can you imagine what they might have thought if I just decided not to show up at 6 o'clock one day because I didn't feel like it, or because I just wasn't in the mood to go home that day and I didn't call them? Oh my goodness, I think that would cause great distress to them for not knowing where I was. At least they would worry if they didn't know where I was, because they kind of knew who I knew in the neighborhood and where I might be. But it also, they needed to know where I was, and they needed to know that I was safe. So, as I said already, the same principle applies for us here as a family. As we meet together in Shabbat each week to feast together, showing up on time for services is important so we can have fellowship and eat the words, the week's teaching as a family together. Amen? So being home when the streetlights went on is kind of like being to dinner on time. It's like being accountable to one another in the house. It was a good rule back in the day because, as I said before, we roamed all over the neighborhood. We may have had a neighborhood game of tag or hide and seek. But when those street lights were on, we were expected to be home. And it was a rule about being safe. It also taught us responsibility and accountability to one another. We got allowance for our chores. I got 50 cents a week back in the day. That was the way we learned about our finances. I remember that my allowance, it took me a whole year of saving my allowance to collect $20. And the reason I wanted to collect it was to go buy Hanukkah gifts for my family. And you know what? On $20, I was able to get gifts for everyone without going to the dollar store. This was at Sibley's, if any of you remember that. But the principle is here that we all have to work. We all have work to be done, and we all need to pitch in and help as part of the Shema family. We all need to pitch in and help as part of the Shema family. I think there's even a scripture that says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So it's really important. And I have to put a plug in for the ministries that need help. In our bulletin every week, there's this little space called Service Opportunities. There are so many ministries here that need your help. If you're a ministry leader and you need help, raise your hand or stand up. Just look around. Amelie's mine too, because I'm still looking for a nursery coordinator. All of these ministries need your help. And they're not asking you to do a whole big lot or a big commitment, because everybody makes light work when they take a little bit in their hands, right? And then you get the fellowship with one another, and believe it or not, this is how you grow as a believer. If you're not connected and working and being accountable, you're cutting off your own growth. You really are, and it's how we grow together. So it's important. Next rule is FHB. Well, that was an acronym for Family Hold Back. And back in the day, we had this beautiful big house, and we had a built-in swimming pool. And It was built when I was 3, and because my brother swam, my mother had to teach me to swim. You know, I was one of those kind of kids. At 3 years old, loved the water. But we had a lot of summertime friends, and my parents were very hospitable. So whoever was at the pool at 6 o'clock, they were invited to stay for dinner. But my mother knew that if there wasn't enough food, she would go around and say, FHB, in our ears, FHB, 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 family, hold back. Meaning, it's okay, you'll be fine, but we have guests and we want to give them honor. And so I think that's a good one for us, FHB, when we have our own eggs or our Passover. Some of the people this year, I got to tell, some of them didn't get chicken or some of the major foods because we didn't FHB in the front of the line. So be mindful of our guests here and treat them with honor. Love one another, no fighting. I'm sure you all could get up here and teach this one. But I'm just going to say this, that my commentary is that we keep our accounts short with one another, right? That we go quickly to our brother or sister, then we've offended them, and that we don't gossip about one another to each other. We go to that person. Gossiping causes factions, divisions, and also hurts the congregation and the fellowship here. We also have to watch each other's back and keep each other safe as much as possible. Today in intercessory prayer, we saw how important it is that we gather around one another as a congregation to help keep each other safe, to inquire when people aren't here. How are you? Are you okay? Is there anything you need? To really care about one another. So we're checking up on each other, just even if it's to say, let's go do coffee, right? So going along with that rule is the one about the manners. And I'm just going to quickly go here. Be respectful, be helpful, be kind, be thoughtful, be on time, be mindful of one another. Say please and thank you, I'm sorry, and excuse me. My purpose today, my conclusion is little teaching that hopefully I'm helping you realize that we're not only a congregation here, but we are a family at Congregation Shema Israel. And that applies whether you're a member or a regular attender, but I have to say there's a value in membership. So I'm hoping if you haven't made that commitment that you would prayerfully see whether you should be a part of the membership of the congregation. We are mishpucha, we are family. We are shmites, right? I'm sure that if I had an open mic and were to ask you to come up and tell a story of how this congregation has blessed you, we would be here for a long, long time. Just raise your hand if you have been blessed by this congregation. I think almost every single hand is up here. That's what families do, right? So we're going to have a kiddush upstairs, so you get to share your stories when you go upstairs. Okay, so as family members, I hope you consider all that I've talked about this morning as to what are the rules. They're not so bad, right? Rules aren't so bad, okay? And the roles of family and how we should be caring for one another for time. And this is a time, too, the last thing I wanted to say, we kind of can sense when a person is leaning into the congregation and they're all on board and they want to help, or someone is leaning out because somebody had a vision in the prayer this morning. It was Doreen. She saw sheep following the shepherd, being us following Yeshua. She said in the back of the line, some were turning around and looking behind them, and others were turning around and leaving the flock. Well, this is a time when we shouldn't be looking at things that might attract us to this side or that side, other ministries, other things that, oh, it sounds good, I think I'll go, when it really isn't healthy or good to get there. And others who have been absolutely deceived and turned back. We don't want any of our Shema family doing that. So it's a time to lean in. So I'm encouraging you all that you are leaning in, becoming part, joining together, getting to work, holding back when there's company, and respecting the leadership of the house. Amen? Behold how good and how pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. And lastly, I just want to say thank you. I have a slide with my thank yous. Slide 9. Thank you. thank you to all the teachers and volunteers who worked together this year to make Shabbat school exciting and relevant for all of our children. And thank you, children, who are one left. Thank you, children. You were a joy and a blessing to your teachers and to me, and we are so happy to share each week and look forward to spending time with you on Shabbat. And thank you, families, for your help and support through this transition year. We are all, you, all of the families here are amazing families and parents and grandparents, and we couldn't do our Shabbat school ministry without you. Thank you. Shalom. Be blessed.